Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Hope you had a great weekend. Hope it was better than the Cardinals. Man, we will have Brock Purdy with us today. Saturday night, I watched Iowa State and Oklahoma, and I saw two Arizona quarterbacks go back and forth in Spencer Rattler with Oklahoma and Brock Purdy with Iowa State. And Brock will zoom in with us as Iowa State beat Oklahoma and Iowa State gets the victory. We'll have Brock Purdy with us here in a few minutes. Always good to catch up with Brock. Adam Archuleta will be with us at about 10:35-ish. And Arch, as we've known him through the years here in the Valley, has just risen. He is a riser. Like, we refer to Brock Huard as a riser on the college broadcast side. We've had Brock for many years, and now he's near the top. Arch is in the same space, and he's actually now become an entrepreneur, and he did yesterday's Buffalo Bills Las Vegas Raiders game. So I want to talk to him about Josh Allen and just some quick hits around the NFL with Adam Archuleta. That will come up at about 10:35. Our opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. Guys, life is busy. Life goes quickly, and there's things that, as a businessman like myself, that I have to take care of, not just on the personal side with my family, but also with Desert Financial Credit Union. I have them with me with my debit. I have them with me with the company. I have them with me on my phone. They are there to protect my back, and I'm there to work with them, whether it's on a personal side or with the business side. Desert Financial Credit Union, they're around the valley. They are hometown. They are local. Desert Financial Credit Union, we appreciate their support. Brock Purdy here in a few minutes. Man, I don't know why the Cardinals game was so bad. I had this pen here yesterday in my office, and I came this close to just ramming it into my eyeball or putting it in my ear from one side to the other because the Cardinals were awful with a capital A. And so when you go out and you start the season on a high note, and then you have a stretch of games, and I know there's the whole desperate thing, okay? But the Cardinals are better than Detroit. They weren't. And they were at home. Not that home matters, it feels like, but still, that's a game you should win. Then they meet Carolina without their best player, Christian McCaffrey, and they make Teddy Bridgewater look like he's a freaking first-team player right alongside of Drew Brees and others in the league. And their offense, which was supposed to be the high point for this team, wasn't good yesterday. Larry Fitzgerald has 4 receiving yards in his last 2 games. I don't want to see Larry Fitzgerald finish out his career like Emmett Smith when he was in a Cardinal uniform. I don't want that, okay? And it's just 52 plays on offense, and Kyler, what's the numbers here? I've got them. It was 24 passes, 133. It was just bad. It was bad football all the way around. There was nothing special on any front. And these people that are like, oh, well, you know, it's the body clock game. You know, I had the Chargers game on, and yeah, they ended up losing, but they were winning and winning big. They came out ready to play. The Seahawks in Miami, ready to play. It doesn't matter who the competition is. It doesn't matter. Those are excuses. Those are for losers. Excuses are for losers. Be accountable. Be accountable. So when there's this, well, it's the body clock thing, it's the stinking Jets this coming week at 10 a.m. Okay, this team, I don't know why it is that we sit here every year and get so hyped up about what's going to happen with the Cardinals. And every year since 2015, it's just like you start out 2-0 and things are positive and you have this stretch of games. And I get it, on any Sunday, anybody can beat anybody. But gosh, that's just a bad loss. It's a bad performance all the way around. So, and they have the Jets this week, and, you know, is there going to be excitement about, do I have to sit and watch the Jets and Cardinals this Sunday morning at 10 a.m.? That is why God created a DVR. You just go back and watch it on my, I've got a round of golf in me. Sit there in real time and watch that after what I've seen the last 2 weeks? Inexcusable. It just is. The story about what's going on with COVID, and I understand, I'm not going to make this into a political thing, but our president now has COVID. And obviously, we want him to get better. Obviously. We want our president of the free country like we have to get better. And I'm looking around the NFL and what New England is doing tonight, jumping through hoops, having Brian Hoyer quarterback with Cam Newton coming down with COVID. And yeah, there are still people that believe, yeah, this thing's going to go away the day after the election. I don't know. I have to laugh at those that disbelieve that this isn't real. So if you're still on that wagon, knock yourself out. So tonight we have two games because of this. We have Kansas City and New England in KC. The Patriots, according to Peter King, and Peter is with us every week on this show. Peter will be on Wednesday. They had to take two different planes today just to get to Kansas City. One with those with contract tracing that may have linked back to Cam and others within the organization. And then tonight we have the late game Atlantic Green Bay. So it's just a mess. It's a mess on all fronts. And we're trying to wedge this season. We're trying to wedge football. We're trying to wedge sports into everything. Like, I watched some of the Lakers Heat last night, and it was fine. It certainly didn't feel like an NBA Finals. It's on Sunday night in prime time on a big network, and it looks like they're playing in a gym over at Castile High School. No offense to Castile High School, but it's a nice gym at Castile. But, like, it just looks like a high school gym at this point. And they put some logos and things on the court. And Anthony Davis got in foul trouble, and so, you know, the Lakers drop a game. But it just doesn't feel like the NBA Finals. It doesn't feel like the baseball postseason, because Major League Baseball basically is saying, we are not going to compete head-to-head with the NFL and the NBA, so we're not even going to play a game on Sunday. Whether or not they gave space out, I'm looking forward to Padres-Dodgers, but I would have liked to have seen some baseball on Saturday or Sunday. Like, they're putting games on big ABC in the middle of the day on weekdays, wiping out soap operas because nobody's watching stuff. It's just like, we got to jam all this sports in. On the college front, so ASU and USC are doing something that we have talked here on the program about in the past. Those of you that are just in the space of, I want my Sun Devil football to kick off at 7 p.m., and I want to get to my seat, and I don't want any games in the heat, and we're going to enjoy ASU football because that's what we've done for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Those days are over. Over. So the schedule comes out. ASU is going to open at USC at 9 a.m. 9 a.m. L.A. time. 9 a.m. for a Pac-12 game, which I think is great. Just get up and play. It's like Pop Warner. I know our industry is going to wrap all around like, so Herm, are you going to have your guys ready to play? No, we're not going to be ready to play. We shouldn't even play the game because it's too early. We're not going to be awake. And we're going to have that as a built-in excuse. No, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, show up, play. It's a pandemic. Deal with it. And when I get people that saw the schedule come out on Saturday morning, this is an outrage. This shows that the league's a joke. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Fox is going to put this game on more television sets than the Pac-12 has been on in a long, long time. In fact, the Pac-12 network does not have a game for the first 6 weeks to show you the relevancy of the conference's own TV deal, which I've sat here and said, I could do that. I could say, let's put this game. It's amazing to me that the conference is to a point where there's no games put on the network. Like, really? So ASU and USC right out of the gate. I've already said ASU should win the Pac-12 South. Well, you lose to USC right out of the gate. You lose to Keaton Slovis at 9 a.m. in the morning, 10 a.m. Arizona time. And I don't know if anybody's going to be allowed in the stadium or not, but I think this is terrific. I'm excited for this. And U of A gets an all-expense-paid trip to Utah. Like, the crossover game, I have to believe that Arizona State was looked fondly upon when they said, you're going to get Cal as your crossover game, and it wasn't Oregon, and it wasn't Washington. And then Oregon at UCLA is definitely it's a TV market game. But from a challenging standpoint, Cal's not Oregon. Cal's not Washington. Cal has some good players. But ASU is in a space where this should be the year that they have a big, big season. And they're not going to be in the Rose Bowl because the Rose Bowl is in the college football playoff this year. So they may be in the Fiesta Bowl this year with the way the CFP is playing out, unless things change. So there's a lot going on, but I'm excited for the college football season, the way it played out. As mentioned, Saturday night, I watched Iowa State and Brock Purdy from Perry High School play against Oklahoma and Spencer Rattler from Pinnacle High School. And I'll have Brock Purdy with me via Zoom on the other side after this timeout. And now, as promised, let's go to Iowa, where Brock Purdy joins us, the former Perry Puma star quarterback, now at Iowa State, in his third season on the field. A big victory over Oklahoma and former Pinnacle star Spencer Rattler, which was fun to watch on Saturday night. Brock joins us for a couple of minutes in the battle of Arizona quarterbacks now behind us. Let's just go back to Saturday night. And on the surface, it looked like a whole range of emotions for you, but you're always very even keeled. Walk me through Saturday night and what that was like, Brock.
Yeah, I mean, it was a game full of emotion as far as, you know, from the first quarter to the fourth quarter, going through the lead to being down, game being tied. So there was a lot of stuff going on throughout the game. But, you know, my team and I have been through so many situations like last night in the past couple years. And so I think that's really what helped us at the end, just to understand, you know, where we are in the game. And we've been in these kind of situations before. And we had a lot of great leaders step up, guys on the offensive line and guys on defense. And we were able to, you know, pull away at the end. So I'm just really proud of our guys.
Brock, when you first came to Iowa State, would you have been able to pull off something like the other night against Oklahoma? Because it looks like the talent level and the buy-in level, more importantly, have really gone up. I know experience is a big part of it, but to finally get over the hump, you couldn't have done that in year one at Ames, could you?
Yeah, I think year one, it would have been tough for sure. But, I mean, just having that experience the past couple of years, like I said, like it does make a difference. And, you know, again, we just had a bunch of guys who have been there before, and we just, you know, really rallied everyone together. And just being able to have a bunch of games in the past where we've played together and understand what we have to do to overcome that hump. That's what we did last night. Like we knew what we had to do. We believed in one another. Whereas in the first year, I just don't know if, you know, we really had the commitment level of everyone buying in with what we have. And so I think that was the difference last night. And so again, like, I'm just really proud of the whole team as a whole playing together and buying in. And that's really what got us over the hump at the end.
Brock Purdy with us for a couple of minutes after Iowa State beats Oklahoma over the weekend, big time showdown there. Of course, Brock, the former Perry Puma star quarterback here in Arizona. If I had told you when I first met you at the National Football Foundation luncheon that you're going to go through this journey and get to this point where Todd McShay is opening the broadcast Saturday night saying in the first minute, Brock Purdy is going to be an NFL quarterback, would you have believed any of this?
Yeah, I've always believed in my heart, you know, that I have the ability to play, one, Division I football, and then two, being able to take my talents to the next level. And you know, that's just the confidence I've had in myself from day one, even back at Perry High School. And so, you know, I think just for me, I'm just taking it one day at a time. I'm not getting caught up in the future or anything like that. But there's definitely that side of me where I do have that ability to believe in myself, believe in what I've done in the past, and build off that. So I'm just really excited, you know, what the future does hold, but I'm taking it one day at a time.
Where does your faith come in all of this? Because I've gotten to know you a little bit, and I think people they ask me, what makes that kid tick? And I said, that kid's got a tight family, really tight circle, and he's got a faith kind of like Tim Tebow. Talk about your faith a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when people ask me, you know, how do you stay calm throughout games and situations and the people outside of football when you lose and stuff like that. For me, yeah, the number one factor in that is my faith. And I understand, you know, what my purpose is in life, you know, why I'm here. And so knowing that really does help me stay calm in situations, not try to overreact in situations. And, you know, that's just the bottom line. And it helps me out with life on a day-to-day basis. It helps me be a better person and teammate and brother, son, you know, and I think that's really why I am the way I am. And so faith is really what drives me every single day, and I'm really thankful for that.
How do you balance faith when in the heat of the moment you've got to maybe lose your mind a little bit, maybe go over the top, maybe get into people? How do you balance the sport and faith?
Yeah, so I believe, you know, my faith, you know, I'm called to do what I'm doing, you know, as a quarterback and being an athlete and being a leader. So being able to get on guys sometimes and go over the line of pushing people to be their best, I think that's what I'm called to do, you know, according to my faith. So that's my answer to that.
How do you balance it then when someone comes at you? Who's the person on the field that is able to get into you, and you handle that as a teammate and as a brother?
Yeah, I think really just being able to stay calm in situations with my faith, understanding when someone's coming at me and trying to help me out. You know, I really do take it with a grain of salt, and I do listen to my teammates. And I think that's what's really cool about football, you know, being, you know, so tight with your team. You can hear them out, you know, see what they're seeing, grow from them, you know, whereas if you try to listen to people outside the walls, it's a little different, because then they're not seeing that day-to-day basis, the connection you have with your teammates. So I think that's the beautiful thing about football, is you have 100-something guys who you can relate to and talk to, whereas if you get caught up in the outside noise, then that's where you might start thinking a little differently, and your relationship with one another, with your teammates, isn't as good. So that's how I take that.
Brock Purdy with us. Is it difficult being in a small college town environment versus a huge, huge enrollment, huge university where you can blend in? You're a big fish in a small pond, it looks to me, from a distance.
Yeah, growing up in Arizona, you know, you're just in a really big city, you know, the suburb of Phoenix and everything. And then coming here to a small town where really, you know, it's just the college town out here, and everyone knows everyone. And you're, as an athlete, people know who you are. So it is different for sure. But again, I think my faith and who I am, how my parents raised me, I was ready for this when I came here and understood that I was going to be under the spotlight most of the time. And I'm capable of handling that. And, you know, the people out here are great. They're awesome. They're down to earth people, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Brock Purdy with us for a few minutes. Okay. So I mentioned it off the top about the Todd McShay introduction. Like, it's out there. It's on the bottom line of mock drafts. There's a lot of noise, a lot of discussion. And I know the usual answer is, I tune all that stuff out and I'm just going to play football and let the chips fall where they may. And that's fine if you want to go down that path. But you are in this space now where everybody's projecting you at the next level. So I have to ask the obvious question, how do you handle it?
Yeah, I think for one, you know, it's an honor. You know, I'm not going to just push that aside and be like, all right, there's nothing to that. No, it is an honor. And, you know, having people say that I have that talent to go play, it's pretty sweet. And it gives me a little bit more confidence. But, you know, what drives me is looking in the mirror and understanding that I could be better in so many ways, as a quarterback and everything. And that's what pushes me every single day. But moving forward and everything, I just want to give my team my all right now. I'm not trying to look too far in the future where I'm missing out what's in front of me. And so for me, that's why I say I'm focusing on right now. Whatever comes in the future is awesome, and I'm grateful for that. But I have to focus with what's in front of me. So,
strangest place you've been asked for an autograph in college?
Strangest place, probably on the bus. We have this thing called the Sci-Ride that takes us around campus, and there's been a couple students where I have my headphones in and they pull out like a football or a helmet and ask if I can sign it. I'm like, man, these people are just carrying this around campus. It's pretty funny, but it was pretty funny. It's pretty sweet.
On the bus. Hey, they got a helmet, but you get the look, like, you know it now, right? Like,
yeah,
it's Brock Purdy over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's all pretty unassuming, I mean, for you, I would think.
Yes, sir.
Your family. So I felt bad for your sister the other night, or maybe it's just funny. They know, the cameras know where they're sitting. So there's a lot of reaction shots of mom, dad, and your sister. You've told me in the past your sister may be the best athlete in the family. I don't want to get into a family brawl here on the air, but is that still the case, or have you passed her?
I hope I've passed her, but when it comes to little games and stuff, it seems like she always wins still. So I don't know if I'll ever be able to.
You have anybody that wants to meet your family, like take pictures and all that stuff? That usually happens too in colleges I've found through the years, where guys want to know about the status of your sister, just stuff that's like, really? I'm just here playing football. Have you had to go through all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, they've always had to take pictures and stuff with people at the games, and I think that just comes with, you know, where they're at with me being the quarterback and all that kind of stuff. But my family takes it in a very humble way, and, you know, they're taking it in. You know, this comes once in a lifetime when your son is, you know, a quarterback and you're going to the games and everything, and people are wearing their jerseys, and, you know, it's just a great time, and it's really fun, and it's a blessing, and they're having a lot of fun with it, so.
I was going to have your little brother Zoom bomb us, and then I decided not. I decided it'd just be better for you and I. But I'm curious, from a distance, what are you seeing out of Chuba at Florida State?
Yeah, I think a lot of growth, just from him personally, how he's taking everything mentally. And obviously with him being sidelined due to injury right now, it's making him, you know, be more hungry, you know, to play and to understand what it takes to be the guy on a college football team, Power Five football, where you're under the spotlight and everything. So for him right now, I've seen a lot of growth, and when we talk and everything, matured a lot, and he understands what it takes. And so I'm just really excited for him to, you know, get healthy and get his feet wet out there. So he's taking it in a great manner, and I know he'll be ready when his name gets called.
It'd be kind of fun to see an Iowa State Florida State bowl game. That's just me thinking out loud. I just think,
yeah, a lot of people have said that, so yeah, we'll see.
I think that'd be kind of fun. How is school going for you? What are you majoring in, for people that don't know, and how is that side of it working out?
Yep, I'm majoring in communication studies right now, and it's going good. It's pretty smooth. You know, just a lot of communication classes where you have to interact with people, and for me, it's pretty sweet because going out and actually being able to have to do projects where you have to talk to people on campus is cool because, you know, where, you know, as a student athlete or a quarterback, you can get caught up in, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to come back home, watch film and be away from people, where my major sort of makes me like go out. I have to interview professors and talk to people on campus. So that's a cool way for me to, you know, interact with people out there still in Ames.
You got an interesting professor story? Did you have to go interview like the microbiology prof or something like that?
No, nothing like that yet. But yeah. I mean, it's funny because like when I talk to professors, like I'll interview them and then afterwards they're like, hey, great game and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty fun. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. This is Brock Purdy. I need to come interview you for a project. You don't get turned down. They don't ask you for stuff like an autograph or a picture or anything afterwards, do they?
A couple of them have. But it's all good. It's all good.
That's great. A couple football questions. I'll get you out of here. So I mentioned earlier about the other night, I thought it was good for Arizona high school football to see Brock Purdy, Spencer Rattler. I know that there's other high school quarterbacks, Brian Lewerke up at Michigan State, Tyler Shuck's going to be at Oregon this year, Gunnar Cruz maybe at Washington State, and on and on and on. Maybe your brother this season gets on the field at Florida State. But I'm just curious, the other night, did you have a chance to interact after the game with him? And what was it for Arizona to see two high-profile quarterbacks go after each other?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty sweet to play in a primetime game Saturday night where, you know, both of the guys that are starting QBs, you know, are from the same state. And we've seen all the talent across the board, across the nation with these Power Five schools getting Arizona QBs. And I think it's awesome. And it really is a brotherhood. And so to talk to Spencer after the game, you know, and just hug him and say congrats and tell him what he's doing is awesome was pretty sweet. And, you know, he had a great game and, you know, he's going to have a very successful career and really excited to watch him play. So, but yeah, I think just overall being from Arizona is pretty sweet and just getting Arizona's recognition and talent out there is awesome. And I'm so thankful to represent, you know, the great state of Arizona.
What is it about this state? I mean, can you put a finger on it? And it's not just quarterbacks, but the growth of it. I think you were probably in about the front end of the explosion out here. But can you put a finger on what's going on in this state where so many players are now showing up nationally with Arizona ties?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the talent and everybody in Arizona, like everybody is all dialed into football. You know, I always tell people here, like all we had was playing football and you know, in Arizona, there's not much to do besides sports, if you ask me, growing up. So, you know, there's always been these kids out here, the recruits and everybody who were playing high school football, and they just grind, you know, 24/7 year round. And I think we've seen the talent throughout the past couple of years. And, you know, going back to like Christian Kirk and all those guys, like it's been here. The talent has been in Arizona. And I know that the state's going to keep blowing up, and I'm really excited to see, you know, all the guys come out of Arizona. But we definitely have that talent to, you know, take over a bunch of programs and do a great job across the board. So I've always been, you know, blessed to say I'm from Arizona, and I know that the state is just going to keep producing great talent. So I'm excited to see.
Because there's Joey Ramos, DeShane James, Taylor Mauser was at Basha High. He's in your recruiting side.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm leaving anybody out, but it's not just one or two guys anymore. That's what I think is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, especially, and then Kobe Halfcock, we have the long snapper out of Desert Ridge.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, definitely. And then I still see all the coaches recruiting a bunch of guys out of Arizona, not only from Iowa State, but other Big 12 schools, SEC schools. And you see these guys going and doing great things. So, and I keep telling everybody, I'm like, guys, like Arizona is the place, like it's a hot spot right now. And, you know, I know there's going to be even more athletes to come out from Arizona and do great things. So, you know, I've always been not just on the hype train because I've actually been through it, and I'm the guy like out here now representing Arizona. So I'm just really excited, and I know that great things are going to come out of that state.
Before I get you out of here, COVID was part of Chuba. You went through it a little bit from what I'd heard. So you've come back from that. The rest of your season at Iowa State, and just in this weird, weird, strange year, what do you see for the rest of the season, assuming you can be on the field every week without having postponements and all that stuff?
Yeah, it's definitely just been different. All the testing throughout the week, you get tested like three times every single week. So like that's a whole new dynamic. And that's good, you know, to keep everybody safe. But then obviously the fans and the environment has changed. You know, our first game where we didn't have any fans, it definitely is a little different compared to, you know, Saturday night where we did have fans.
Yeah.
Just having momentum, being on the road, hearing people at TCU, it felt a little normal, but it does bring a whole new dynamic to the game, especially as a player, because when there's no one in the stadium, you know, you have to create that momentum now for your team. Rather than you can make a couple plays and then the whole stadium gets that momentum going for you. And so that's something that is different this year, but I think guys have matured and handled that in the right way on my team. You know, moving forward, you know, you can lose a guy for from one testing and they're out for like two games. So it's a new dynamic, but I think every team's adjusting to it, and hopefully we can just keep it going and finish out the season strong.
You had yours in summer like Chuba, right?
Same time.
And did it hit you? You had mono back in high school. Was it the same? For people that don't know, I just think informationally it helps them.
Yeah.
Symptoms, and was it the same?
Yeah, definitely a little different from mono. Mono, I think, for me, lasted a little longer as far as being fatigued. When I had COVID, I was, you know, I felt the symptoms for about 2 to 3 days, really. But then obviously had to, like, stay in my room and everything and quarantine. So, that was a little different, but I had fever, had sore throat, symptoms like that, but then went away. You know, I'm just thankful that, you know, I had the trainers help me, give me supplements and everything. So that was nice.
Yeah. And you're clearly cleared from it and playing really, really well as a team. I know first and foremost for you. Best of luck the rest of the year, and I appreciate getting caught up. I'll see you soon. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Brad.
All right, as promised, Adam Archuleta is with us. This is a story, by the way. We're going to do a deep dive here with Arch on perseverance, not just in football, through college at ASU, then into the NFL, then figuring life out after the NFL, where I talk about lost souls and people who just can't find their place. Arch was not that. He was not a lost soul. He was somebody who wanted to try things and found his space. Now he's with CBS. He's one of the top broadcast teams. Yesterday, he was doing the Bills and Raiders with a lot of national audience checking them out. He joins us now via Zoom from his house. You're in Scottsdale, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
How are you? Look at you. You look like chiseled, and I see you yesterday in Vegas, and you got kids, and you've got a business I want to talk to you about. I mean, you got a lot happening. Things look great.
Yeah, you know, I can't complain, Brad. life has been good. It's great family. That keeps me whole and it keeps me grounded. I mean, that's really where it starts, but work has been really well, and I'm really enjoying things right now.
Your role with CBS, just fill the fans in on what your broadcast partner, the games you have, and all of that.
Well, first, I want to go back to what you said in your little open there. You could put me down back then as a lost soul. So I was definitely in that lost soul category.
You hit it pretty well.
You know, I've done a good job of hiding that. But I definitely, I would say at the end of my career, I was just as a person probably at a real like low point. You know, I just really didn't have a good sense of who I was and my identity. And just, you could say relatively to my life, it was sort of a rock bottom type deal. So I've had to come a long way, and I credit my wife and my family for doing that and finding faith. But certainly, I appreciate you thinking that I had my stuff together, but I was no different than everybody else.
We were side by side, just for people to know. I mean, you wanted to intern, and you came in to intern, and you were not afraid to put in the sweat equity and go out to high school football games and grind. You and I sat together in dark press boxes and grinded. Was that your space where you were just kind of like, I don't know what I'm doing?
Well, I didn't really know. So I thought that in my mind, I had a unique way of looking at the game, and I figured that television seemed like a really good avenue. I was told very early, as you know, by a lot of the top media executives at the networks that I probably didn't have a future in TV. But I just stuck with it. And I felt like I didn't want to get dominated by the fear or being uncomfortable or having social anxiety. And so that feeling, I turned into motivation, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to make this happen. So I dove in. As you know, you were right there at the very beginning, and I just kept sticking with it. And I just worked and worked and worked, and, you know, perseverance does pay off in the end.
Yeah. I never doubted you. I mean, look, there's plenty of former NFL players that I come in contact with that want to go into media, and they think it's all glitz and glam, and you get paid lots of dough, and you get it. And then they get into it. It's like, wow, this is really work. And I never sensed that from you. And, you know, it was never above you. There was never anything that was like, well, this is beneath me, this is above me. You just showed up, and you were always prepared. So I never doubted you for a minute. And a lot of those executives, look, those who can do, those who can't consult, okay? That's it. So you did it. You're doing it. So tell the audience about CBS and where you're at with CBS.
CBS has been great. You know, I went to CBS first. They brought me from the Pac-12 network to do CBS Sports Network games, and that was going to be Mountain West games. And in my mind, it was a step back from doing Pac-12. But to me, it was a path, even though it was a real long shot, it was a path to the NFL. So started doing Mountain West games, started to work my way up. And a few years ago, they made me one of their full-time guys in the NFL. And I got a great partner, Spiro Ditas, great partner. And so, you know, now we're doing NFL games. And so I'm part of the crew. I'm just continuing to try and get better and work on my craft and get more high profile games. And it's been a dream come true.
Yesterday you had Buffalo and the Raiders, Josh Allen up close and personal. What do you make out of Josh Allen? I mean, if he's with the Cowboys with a star on his helmet, he's everywhere, but he's in Buffalo. No offense to those of you in Buffalo, but that's a fact. What do you make out of Josh Allen?
You know, I covered Josh Allen when he was at Wyoming. So I saw him, you know, that was when I was doing Mountain West games. And so I had three or four of his games. I had a lot of Buffalo games his rookie year, maybe three of them. I may have one of his first games. He was a raw, raw prospect. And I've got to be honest, I didn't see it. I thought that it just, you never saw guys that were that raw as a passer really make the necessary improvements at the NFL game. It just, you just don't see it. And so I thought, look, hey, this is a strong arm kid. You can't take away his competitive nature. You can't take away, you know, the it factor and his ability to just kind of take over and be a star. But the finer points of quarterbacking, let's face it, he didn't have it. And he his rookie season, he looked overwhelmed. He didn't have the answers. He wasn't accurate. He couldn't hit throws. And I thought, look, it's going to be a long shot. Call me a convert, because the way he's playing quarterback right now, he is fun to watch. I mean, the throws this season, I haven't seen him really miss a throw. And the degree of difficulty, and really what I – one of the things that I look for in that marquee quarterback, right, the $150, the $200 million quarterbacks, whatever you want, the Russell Wilson or the Mahomes or the Rock, is the make and pay factor, right? So when the defense makes the mistake, when they have to make the throw, they make you pay and they demoralize you. And so that's what Josh Allen has been doing this season. And I got to tell you, if he can keep it up, he is something else. So call me a fan of his. I didn't think, much like maybe the TV guys didn't think I had a future in TV. I thought it was going to be an uphill battle for Josh, but man, he is fun to watch.
Adam Archuleta with us, CBS Sports, the former Sun Devil. You have Ravens Browns this coming Sunday?
Colts Browns. Sorry. Yes, sir.
Colts Browns this Sunday. So you're going to get to see a quarterback in Baker Mayfield that has had a lot of commercials from what I see. And they're winning some games finally, because I'm like, this guy's got more commercials than anybody and they haven't won a thing. And then you have Phillip Rivers on the other side. So, and that's a fun game to see. I mean, the Browns, are they real or not?
That is a great question. My in-laws are from the Youngstown area, and so they're Browns fans. And my brother-in-law is just a miserable Browns fan. And so every year, you know, he's telling me this is the year, and they get excited and the disappointment. And then the way the first game of the season started, I mean, he just sent me a text and he said, man, my Browns suck again. Right. So, I feel the Browns, their fans, I feel their pain, but I got to tell you, boy, have they been playing well. So I know, you know, Nick Chubb looks like he's going to be out. Didn't seem like they missed a beat without him in there. I'm curious to really study the tape and see Baker Mayfield up close this year, because he seems to be playing pretty well. But I, to be honest, I really haven't studied him that closely or really studied the offense that closely. But if they play that round of football this weekend, it's going to be an exciting game, and I'll take that any day.
Have you seen the Jets yet?
Just on TV.
Yeah. It's not on TV. It's not good TV.
It's a brutal product right now. It's I feel for the Jets fans.
Because the Cardinals are really up against it this week, I think. They've dropped two in a row, two games that you look at and say Carolina did not have Christian McCaffrey. The week before, the Lions came here as a desperate team. And now the Cardinals have to play in New York against the Jets, a team that's just sitting there and everybody's pounding away on them. And it's the Cardinals to get a victory this week.
You know, anything can happen. I mean, let's be honest. Anything can happen. I had Philadelphia last week, and they looked terrible. You know, Carson Wentz did not look like Carson Wentz. They have no receiver. Every one of their receivers are hurt. Their defense was getting gashed. I mean, they ended up tying the Bengals when they had numerous chances. And you think to yourself, boy, Philly looks like they're in bad shape. And then they go out there and win this weekend, right? Mm-hmm. So you never know who's going to show up. I haven't had a chance, because I'm on the road, to really like watch the Cardinals in depth. From what I see, though, Kyler Murray looks like a special player, and I enjoy watching him. I mean, he's a guy. This the electricity that he brings to an offense, and the challenges that a defense has defending a guy like that. I think the Cardinals are a very exciting football team. I think they're on the upside. Had a tough stretch. I didn't get to see what happened last week, but right now I don't see many teams that are struggling and not playing as well as the Jets. So, you know, hopefully it's a good game for the Cardinals to get on track.
Adam Archuleta with us for a couple of minutes. One other question on football, and that is the Dallas Cowboys. Have you seen them enough to make a judgment about where they're at? Because there's so much buzz around where Dallas is every year. And I'm just curious from your view, if you've seen them, in a thought or two.
Well, I mean, it's that they can't play defense. I mean, how do you, what did it, I think Dak Prescott threw for 500 yards yesterday, something like that. Yeah. I mean, we talk about Josh Allen, you know, Dak Prescott, he's having himself a season. Their defense, boy, you know, I'm sure it's challenging for those defensive players because for maybe 3, 4, maybe 5 years, Rod Marinelli was their defensive coordinator, and he has a very distinct system. It's really the system that I played, the Lovie Smith, the Tampa system. Mm-hmm. It's a very different defense. So now Mike Nolan is the coordinator, and it's almost the opposite. You know, the old system was a very simplistic play fast. We're going to be sound technique. The new system is they have a lot of different coverages, a lot of different defense and personnels in front. And right now their defensive players are not making that adjustment. You know, it's a very, very different. The techniques are all different. And right now I think they're really struggling to pick up Mike Nolan's defense.
CBS NFL analyst, Valley resident, former Sun Devil, Adam Archuleta, who now I can add the title of entrepreneur. Walk me through the business end of what you're about to jump into.
So I'm pretty excited about this. I have always wanted to have an entrepreneurial spirit. My biggest issue was, how do I get into a business or do something? Because I'm an all-in guy. And I knew that, look, I'm doing TV. You can't just start something and then put it on the back burner during football season and expect it to be successful, right? Especially somebody like me who doesn't really have that business background. So I always wanted to, franchising was always attractive to me. I went to the NFL. They had a franchise boot camp at the University of Michigan. I did that executive course about 5 years ago and just never really saw where the right opportunity was. And lo and behold, last year, visiting my in-laws in the Youngstown area in Ohio, went into a restaurant and was like, wow, this is awesome. Mm. So the brand is For Life Eatery. And it was so good. And I thought to myself, wow, this is something that I could take my family to. It's a good price. The food is amazing. It's all scratch made right in front of you. It's fast casual. It's an ordering style like a Chipotle. You know, the people in the Valley, if you're familiar with Flower Child, it's kind of like a Flower Child and a Chipotle combination, right? Cool. So like really excellent, healthy food you could take your family to. And I contacted the corporate offices and they told me that there was a gentleman here that was already kind of been looking at this with a lot of experience for the Arizona market. They put us together and we felt like as a team, we could bring this to the Arizona market. And so here we are. Our first one opens up and at the end of the month. And I think it's going to be a really, really good concept here. Something that I really believe in, first of all, not just as a business, but really excited about this.
How many locations will you roll out in the state? Will it just be Maricopa County or will it be statewide?
Well, the plan is, this is a new brand. We have the development rights to the entire Arizona market. So our plan was to open up 3 in the first year, see how it's going in this market. And then ultimately the plan is for 20. And so that's kind of where we are. We have our first one going in, like I said, at the end of the month. And then I think our second one is scheduled to open first quarter of 2021. So
where?
So our first location is on the corner of McClintock and Warner. It's right next door to an EOS Fitness.
Yeah.
So that's number one. And then I believe our second location is slated to go in the 60 and Higley. I think there's a new Fry's Marketplace being built there. So that's going to be location number 2. So
know exactly where that is. I know exactly where that is.
Yeah, super excited. I mean, this is, it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Good for you. So I'm going to see you behind the counter. I'm just kidding.
I might, you know, I like to get, you might if it's not football season.
Yeah, good.
But just like anything else, you know, I like to dive in. I like to learn. I like to get my hands dirty. As you mentioned earlier, you know, I don't I had the mentality that nothing is beneath me. And I cherish the opportunity to experience things and to learn and to grow. And it's just another chapter and another challenge for me that I'm looking forward to.
Well, I'll tell you, on the entrepreneur side, when I jumped into doing this, and it's just me, it was, you're right, you do have to be all in, and you do have to be nimble, and you do have to have a short, like fast twitch, short-term memory. I'll use the NFL term, fast twitch, and then I'll use short-term memory. You know, you have to be a DB, yep. Right? And it's fine. It's fine. And when you drink out of a fire hose, you drink out of a fire hose. And
right.
And, but it's you, it's all you, it's nobody, not that person's fault, not that person's fault, it's all right. Me. So yeah. I totally get where you're at.
But I, you know, I'm really fortunate. My partners are tremendous. They have a lot of experience. They actually, their other company, they own and operate about 130 Carl's Juniors and Hardee's. And so they really understand this space, you know? Yeah. And so for me to have people that really know it, they're good at it, it's the perfect entry point for me to get into this, in this realm.
Before I get you out of here, have you been paying attention, as busy as you are, because your dad, your husband, you're coaching, you're driving, you're doing all that stuff. Have you paid any attention to what Herm Edwards is doing over at your alma mater? Have you had time to look at ASU at all?
This year, not as much because of obviously everything that's going on, right?
Yeah, no,
are they going to have a season? I mean, it was hard enough to get geared up to get ready for this NFL season, to be quite honest. It just didn't feel like, is it really football season? Is this really happening? I mean, there's no fans. There's this, the climate of where we are right now as a country, it's challenging to be a sports fan. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. It's just not the same. I think the breaking of the routine of watching sports for 6 months and just where we are as a country is taking a toll on everybody. So I'm glad to see that, that they are going to play football. I've been a Herm Edwards fan from the beginning. I just think he's a great leader. I think they're doing some really good stuff there. And I wish him nothing but success. I really do. From what I hear, I mean, ASU should be a pretty good football team this year, at least, yeah. You know, preseason wise. Right. So good leaders, you know, more often than not, they figure out a way to get it done. And I think that's the category I would put Herm Edwards.
I'm proud of you. I can say that on my show because it's my show. Very proud of you and where you are, because there was the transition and you've done very, very well for yourself, and it sounds like you have some great new adventures to come behind door number three, behind door number two, and all that stuff. So good seeing you. Thanks for all the time.
Well, thanks, Brad. I appreciate it. And you were there, man. You were there at the beginning. So I couldn't have done it with the help of you and Tim Ring, man. So that was the genesis a long time ago in this TV business. And I appreciate everything.
There's Adam Archuleta, and we're back with more after this timeout.